Disc 3.
Chapter 14. Put the pressure on yourself. Thomas Edison once said, "The first requisite for success is to apply your physical and mental energies to one problem incessantly without growing weary." The world is full of people who are waiting for someone to come along and motivate them to be the kind of people they wish they could be. The problem is that no one is coming to the rescue. These people are waiting for a bus on a street where no buses pass. As a result, if they don't take charge of their lives and put the pressure on themselves, they can end up waiting forever. And that is what most people do. Only about 2% of people can work entirely without supervision. We call these people leaders. This is the kind of person you are meant to be, and which you may be if you decide to. To reach your full potential, you must form the habit of putting the pressure on yourself and not waiting for someone else to come along and do it for you. You must choose your own frogs and then make yourself eat them in their order of importance. See yourself as a role model for others. Raise the bar on yourself. The standards you set for your own work and behavior should be higher than anyone else could set for you. Make it a game with yourself to start a little earlier, work a little harder, and stay a little later. Always look for ways to go the extra mile, to do more than you're paid for. Your self-esteem, the core of your personality, has been defined by psychologist Nathaniel Brandon as your reputation with yourself. You build up or pull down your reputation with yourself with everything you do or fail to do. The good news is that you feel better about yourself whenever you push yourself to do your very best. You increase your own self-esteem whenever you go beyond where the average person would normally quit. One of the best ways for you to overcome procrastination is by working as though you only had one day to get your most important jobs done before you left for a month or went on vacation. Imagine each day that you have just received an emergency message and that you will have to leave town tomorrow for a month. If you had to leave town for a month, what would you absolutely make sure that you got done before you left? Whatever your answer, go to work on that task right now. Another way to put pressure on yourself is to imagine that you just received an all-expenses-paid one-week vacation in a beautiful resort as a prize, but you will have to leave tomorrow morning on the vacation or it will be given to someone else. What would you be determined to get finished before you left so that you could take that vacation? Whatever it is, start on that one job immediately. Successful people continually put the pressure on themselves to perform at high levels. Unsuccessful people have to be instructed and supervised and pressured by others. By putting the pressure on yourself, you accomplish more and better tasks faster than ever before. You become a high-performance, high-achieving personality. You feel terrific about yourself, and bit by bit, you build up the habit of rapid task completion that then goes on to serve you all the days of your life. Now, here are two exercises for you. Number one, set deadlines and sub-deadlines on every task and activity. Create your own forcing system. Raise the bar on yourself and don't let yourself off the hook. Once you've set yourself a deadline, stick to it and even try to beat it. Second, write out every step of a major job or project before you begin. Determine how many minutes and hours you will require to complete each phase. Then, race against your own clock. Beat your own deadlines. Make it a game and resolve to win. Chapter 15. Maximize Your Personal Powers. John Haggai once wrote, "Gather in your resources, rally all your faculties, marshal all your energies, focus all your capacities upon mastery of at least one field of endeavor." The raw material of personal performance and productivity is contained in your physical, mental, and emotional energies. When you are fully rested, you can get 2 times, 3 times, and 5 times as much done as when you are tired or burned out. Your body is like a machine that uses food, water, and rest to generate energy that you then use to accomplish important tasks in your life and work. One of the most important requirements for being happy and productive is for you to guard and nurture your energy levels at all times. The fact is that your productivity begins to decline after 8 or 9 hours of work. For this reason, working long hours into the night, although it is sometimes necessary, means that you are usually producing less and less in more and more time. The more tired you become, the worse will be the quality of your work and the more mistakes you will make. At a certain point, like a battery that is run down, you can reach the wall and simply be unable to continue. There are specific times during the day when you are at your best. You need to identify these times and discipline yourself to use them on your most important and challenging tasks. Most people are at their best in the mornings, after a good night's sleep. Some people are better in the afternoons. A few people are most creative and productive in the evenings or late at night. A major reason for procrastination is fatigue, or attempting to start on a task when you're tired out. You have no energy or enthusiasm. Like a cold engine in the morning, you can't seem to get yourself started. Whenever you feel overtired and overwhelmed with too much to do and too little time, stop yourself and just say, "All I can do is all I can do." Sometimes the very best use of your time is to go home early and go to bed and sleep for 10 hours straight. This can completely recharge you and enable you to get 2 or 3 times as much done the following day and of a far higher quality than if you had continued working long into the night. According to many researchers, the average American is not getting enough sleep relative to the amount of work he or she is doing. Millions of Americans are working in a state of mental fog as a result of working too much and sleeping too little. One of the smartest things you can do is to turn off the television and get to bed by 10 o'clock each night during the week. Sometimes, 1 extra hour of sleep per night can change your entire life. Here's a rule for you. Take at least 1 full day off every week. During this day, either Saturday or Sunday, you must absolutely refuse to read, clear correspondence, catch up on things from the office, or do anything else that taxes your brain. Instead, you go to a movie, exercise, spend time with your family, go for a walk, or any activity that allows your brain to completely recharge itself like a battery. It is true that a change is as good as a rest. Take regular vacations each year, both long weekends and 1 and 2 week breaks, to rest and rejuvenate. You are always the most productive after a restful weekend or a vacation. Going to bed early 5 nights a week, sleeping in on the weekends, and taking 1 full day off each week will ensure that you have far more energy. This added energy will enable you to overcome procrastination and get started on your major tasks faster and with greater resolve than you ever could if you were tired out. In addition to lots of rest and to keep your energy levels at their highest, be careful about what you eat. Start the day with a high-protein, low-fat, low-carbohydrate breakfast. Eat salads with fish or chicken at lunch. Avoid sugar, salt, white flour products, or desserts. Avoid soft drinks and candy bars or pastries. Feed yourself as you would feed a world-class athlete before a competition, because in many respects, that's what you are before starting work each day. Aim to exercise at about 200 minutes each week, the agreed-upon standard for excellent levels of fitness. This is equal to 30 minutes per day and can be achieved by going for a walk before or after work, or walking short stretches during the day. You can swim, use exercise equipment, or play different sports, but build exercise into your daily routine just as if it was a business appointment. By eating lean and healthy, exercising regularly, and getting lots of rest, you'll get more and better work done easier and with greater satisfaction than ever before. The better you feel when you start work, the less you procrastinate and the more eager you are to get the job done and get on with other tasks. High energy levels are indispensable to higher levels of productivity, more happiness, and greater success in everything you do. Now, here are a couple of exercises that you can do to put this into action. Number one, analyze your current energy levels and compare them with your daily health habits. Resolve today to improve your levels of health and energy by asking the following questions. 1. What am I doing physically that I should do more of? 2. What am I doing that I should do less of? 3. What am I not doing that I should start doing if I want to perform at my best? And 4. What am I doing today that affects my health that I should stop doing altogether? And 2nd, select one activity or behavior that you can change immediately to improve your overall levels of health and energy. Practice that one action over and over until it becomes a habit. Then, select a second way to improve and begin on that. Whatever your answers are to these questions, take action today. Chapter 16. Motivate Yourself into Action. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry once wrote, "It is in the compelling zest of high adventure and of victory and of creative action that man finds his supreme joys." To perform at your best, you must become your own personal cheerleader. You must develop a routine of coaching yourself and encouraging yourself to play at the top of your game. Fully 95% of your emotions, positive or negative, are determined by how you talk to yourself on a minute-to-minute basis. It is not what happens to you, but the way that you interpret the things that are happening to you that determines how you feel. It is your version of events that largely determines whether they motivate or demotivate you, whether they energize or de-energize you. To keep yourself motivated, you must resolve to become a complete optimist. You must determine to respond positively to the words, actions, and reactions of the people and situations around you. You must refuse to let the unavoidable difficulties and setbacks of daily life affect your mood or emotions. Your level of self-esteem, how much you like and respect yourself, is central to your levels of motivation and persistence. You should talk to yourself positively all the time to boost your self-esteem. Say things like, "I like myself. I like myself," over and over until you begin to believe it and behave like a person with a high-performance personality. To keep yourself motivated and to overcome feelings of doubt or fear, continually tell yourself, "I can do it. I can do it." When people ask you how you are, always tell them, "I feel terrific." No matter how you really feel at the moment or what is happening in your life, resolve to remain cheerful and upbeat. As Viktor Frankl wrote in his best-selling book, Logotherapy, "The last great freedom of mankind is the freedom to choose your attitude under any set of external conditions." Refuse to complain about your problems. Keep them to yourself. As speaker humorist Ed Foreman says, "You should never share your problems with others because 80% of people don't care about them anyway, and the other 20% are kind of glad that you've got them in the first place." In Martin Seligman's 22-year study at the University of Pennsylvania, summarized in his book, Learned Optimism, he determined that optimism is the most important quality you can develop for personal and professional success and happiness. Optimistic people seem to be more effective in almost every area of life. It turns out that optimists have three special behaviors or qualities all learned through practice and repetition. First, optimists look for the good in every situation. No matter what goes wrong, they always look for something good or beneficial. And not surprisingly, they always seem to find it. Second, optimists always seek the valuable lesson in every setback or difficulty. They believe that difficulties come not to obstruct, but to instruct. They believe that each setback or obstacle contains a valuable lesson that they can learn and grow from, and they are determined to find it. Third, optimists always look for the solution to every problem. Instead of blaming or complaining when things go wrong, they become action-oriented. They ask questions like, "What's the solution? What can we do now? What's the next step?" Optimists think and talk continually about their goals. They think about what they want and how to get it most of the time. They think and talk about the future and where they are going rather than the past and where they came from. They are always looking forward rather than backward. When you continually visualize your goals and ideals and talk to yourself in a positive way, you feel more focused and energized. You feel more confident and creative. You experience a greater sense of control and personal power. And the more positive and motivated you feel, the more eager you are to get started, and the more determined you are to keep going. So here's two exercises for you. First, control your thoughts. Remember, you become what you think about most of the time. Be sure that you are thinking and talking about the things you want rather than the things you don't want. Second, keep your mind positive by accepting complete responsibility for yourself and for everything that happens to you. Refuse to criticize, complain, or blame others for anything. Resolve to make progress rather than excuses. Keep your thoughts and your energy focused forward on the things you can do right now to improve your life and let the rest go. Chapter 17, Get Out of the Technological Time Sinks. As Gandhi said, there is more to life than just increasing its speed. Technology can be your best friend or your worst enemy. As we race into the 21st century, bombarded by information from all sides, many people seem to have an irresistible, if not obsessive, need to communicate continually and nonstop with people everywhere in their personal and business lives. This incessant, nonstop compulsion to communicate, entailing the continuous use of cell phones, BlackBerries, personal digital assistants, internet, both wireless and connected, and various contact management systems like Microsoft Outlook, Maximizer, and others, tends to leave a person psychologically breathless. He or she has no time to stop, smell the roses, and collect his or her thoughts. At the same time, there are many high-powered, hard-working, highly productive people functioning in the dead center of communications technology who are not overwhelmed by technology. They seem to have their lives largely under control. Bill Gross, for example, manager of more than $600 billion in fixed income funds and bonds, is famous for exercising regularly and meditating daily to keep centered while using no technology at all. He turns off his cell phone, cuts off his live phone, leaves his BlackBerry in his office, and goes about his daily business without the continuous interruptions of people who have an overwhelming need to stay connected. And he says that he never misses an important message. For you to stay calm, clear-headed, and capable of performing at your best, you need to detach on a regular basis from the technology and communication devices that can overwhelm you if you're not careful. In Washington not long ago, I was at a business luncheon with a room full of high-level executives. Prior to the beginning of the luncheon, one of the organizers stood up and gave a short grace. Everyone bowed their head. When the grace was over, the luncheon began. However, at my table, four or five of the eight people seemed to have been greatly affected by the prayer that had just preceded the luncheon. They still had their heads down with their hands in their laps, even when they served the food. Each of them seemed to be lost in deep thought over the profound questions of the day. Then I realized that they were not praying at all. Each of them was intensely focused on their BlackBerries, sending and receiving email, working their little keyboards like frantic teenagers playing a video game. They were all lost to the world around them as they messaged back and forth, some of them with other people in the same room. They had fallen into a technological trap, a deep sink full of information exchange in which they were drowning. Now, the purpose of modern technology is largely to increase the speed, efficiency, and accuracy of the transfer of information of all kinds. Technology is meant to help us to improve the quality of our lives by enabling us to accomplish our key tasks and to communicate with the key people in our world faster and more efficiently than ever before. But the use of communications technology can quickly become a form of addiction. People get up in the morning and immediately check to see if there are any phone calls or voicemail messages on their cell phones. They then race to their computers to pull up their email to see if anyone communicated with them overnight. They call the office to find out if anyone has done or said anything that they should know about in the last few hours. They check their Microsoft Outlook, their personal digital assistants, their BlackBerries, and whatever other forms of communications technology they are using every 5 or 6 minutes to make sure that they're not missing anything. This has to stop before it gets out of control. One of my clients, with distributors in 19 states, found himself bound and chained to his computer, receiving and responding to emails several hours each day. The more time he spent at his computer, the fewer of his other important tasks he was able to get done. The stress of these tasks, building up like an avalanche overhang, started to affect his personality, his health, and his sleeping habits. By using the principles taught in Eat That Frog, we taught him about the 80-20 rule and how it applies to emails. Fully 80% of the emails that you receive are of no value and should not even be opened. They should be deleted immediately. Of the remaining 20%, only 20% of those, or 4% of your emails, actually require an immediate response of some kind. The other 16% can be ignored temporarily or transferred to an action folder where they can be dealt with one at a time. My client felt that there was no one who had the ability to sort out his emails, which were more than 300 per day, and that he had to do it all himself, no matter how much time it took. We encouraged him to sit down with his secretary and go through his emails, showing her which ones were important, which ones were unimportant, and how to deal with the most common requests and questions. To his surprise, within 2 hours, his secretary knew enough to handle most of his emails for him. From then on, she would come in each morning and delete the 80% of emails that were of no value. She would transfer the essential emails requesting personal action by her boss into a separate folder. If there was a question on an email, she would transfer it to a process folder for him to look at his convenience. At our next meeting, he told me that he had tracked the time savings of this simple exercise and calculated that he was now saving 23 hours per week of work that he could then spend eating his frogs and getting his most important tasks completed. This simple exercise transformed his life, reduced his stress levels, improved his health and energy, and made him a much more relaxed and positive person. So here's a question for you. How would your life change if you had an extra 23 hours each week with which to think, work, plan, talk with key coworkers, or even go for a walk with your spouse? Imagine 23 extra hours in a week. A journalist for Fortune magazine wrote recently that when he arrived back at his office after a 2-week vacation, there were more than 700 emails waiting for him. He realized that it would take him a week to get through them all, during which time he wouldn't be able to tackle any of the projects waiting on his desk. For the first time in his email career, he took a deep breath and punched the Delete All button, erasing those 700 emails forever. He then turned and got busy with the projects that were really important to him and his company. Now, his explanation was simple. He said, "I realize that just because somebody sends me an email does not mean that they own a piece of my life in terms of my having to reply to them now or ever. In addition, it occurred to me that if the email was really important, the sender would send it again." And that's exactly what happened. For you to be able to concentrate on those few things that make most of the difference in your business and personal life, you must discipline yourself to use technology as a servant, not a master. Technology is there to help you, not to hinder you. The purpose of technology is to make your life smoother and easier, not to create complexity, confusion, and stress. One of the best rules in dealing with time, people, and technology is to just leave things off. Resist the urge to start turning on communication devices as soon as you wake up in the morning. Leave the radio off. Leave the television off. Leave your cell phone off. Leave your computer off until you've planned and organized your day. Deliberately create zones of silence in your life where no one and nothing can break through and reach you. Maintain your inner calm by forcing yourself to stop on a regular basis and listen to the silence. Sometimes, to get more done of higher value, you have to stop doing things of lower value. So keep asking yourself, what's important here? What is important for you to accomplish at work? What is important in your personal life? Of all the things that you could do, if you could only do one or two of them, which ones would they be? Remember, when you go away for a day, a week, or a month, on vacation or on business, if you're out of touch with your communication devices, nothing happens. The world seems to continue revolving whether or not you are in continuous contact with it. Problems get solved, answers get found, the work gets done, and life continues to flow along like Old Man River. There are very few things that are so important that they cannot wait. People often ask me at my seminars, but don't you have to keep current with the news by reading newspapers, listening to radio, watching television? I say, no, if it's really important, someone will tell you. If something really important happens in your life, the country, or the world, someone else can spend hours following the news for you, and they will usually tell you on the first possible occasion. Many people discontinue newspapers, stop watching broadcast news on television, and refuse to listen to the radio. And surprisingly enough, they remain well-informed on most important subjects. Someone always keeps them up to date. You should do the same. Now, here are two exercises for you to make technology your friend, not your enemy. Number one, resolve today to create zones of silence during your day-to-day activities. Turn off all communications devices and technology for 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the afternoon. You will be amazed at what happens. Nothing. Second, resolve to take one full day off each week during which you do not touch your computer, check your BlackBerry, or make any attempt to keep in touch with the world of technology. At the end of a day without continuous contact, except by voice, your mind will go calm and clear like water. By giving your mental batteries time to recharge, free from the incessant interruptions of communication, you'll be more relaxed, aware, and alert. Chapter 18. Slice and dice the task. Orison Swett Marden said, "The beginning of a habit is like an invisible thread, but every time we repeat the act, we strengthen the strand, add to it another filament, until it becomes a great cable and binds us irrevocably in thought and act." A major reason for procrastinating on big, important tasks is that they appear so large and formidable when you first approach them. One technique that you can use to cut a big task down to size is the salami slice method of getting work done. With this method, you lay out the task in detail and then resolve to do just one slice of the job for the time being, like eating a roll of salami one slice at a time, or like eating an elephant one bite at a time. Psychologically, you'll find it easier to do a single small piece of a large project than to start on the whole job. Often, once you have started and completed a single part of the job, you will feel like doing just one more slice. Soon you will find yourself working through the job one part at a time, and before you know it, the job will be completed. An important point to remember is that you have deep within you an urge to completion, or what is often referred to as a compulsion to closure. This means that you actually feel happier and more powerful when you start and complete a task of any kind. You satisfy a deep subconscious need to bring finality to a job or project. This sense of completion or closure motivates you to start into the next task or project and then to persist toward final completion. This act of completion triggers that release of endorphins in your brain that we talked about earlier. And the bigger the task you start and complete, the better and more elated you feel. The bigger the frog you eat, the greater the surge of personal power and energy you'll experience. When you start and finish a small piece of a task, you feel motivated to start and finish another part, and then another, and so on. Each small step forward energizes you. You soon develop an inner drive that motivates you to carry through to completion. This completion gives you the great feeling of happiness and satisfaction that accompanies any success. Another technique you can use to get yourself going is called the Swiss cheese method of working. You use this technique to get yourself into gear by resolving to punch a hole into the task like a hole in a block of Swiss cheese. You Swiss cheese a task when you resolve to work for a specific time period on a task. This may be as little as 5 or 10 minutes, after which you will stop and do something else. You will just take one bite of your frog and then rest or change your focus of attention. The power of this method is similar to the salami slice method. Once you start working, you develop a sense of forward momentum and a feeling of accomplishment. You become energized and enthusiastic. You feel yourself internally motivated and propelled to keep going until the task is complete. You should try the salami slice or the Swiss cheese method on any task that seems overwhelming when you approach it for the first time. You will be amazed at how helpful these techniques are in overcoming procrastination. I have several friends who have become best-selling authors by simply resolving to write one page or even one paragraph per day until the book was completed. And you can do the same. Now here's a couple of ways to put these ideas into action. First, put one of these techniques into action immediately. Take a large, complex, multitask job that you've been putting off and either salami slice or Swiss cheese it to get started. Second, become action-oriented. A common quality of high-performance men and women is that when they hear a good idea, they take action on it immediately. As a result, they learn more, faster, and get much better results. Don't delay. Try it today. Chapter 19. Create Large Chunks of Time. Nito Cobain said, "Nothing can add more power to your life than concentrating all of your energies on a limited set of targets." This strategy requires a commitment from you to work at scheduled times on large tasks. Most of the really important work you do requires large chunks of unbroken time to complete. Your ability to create and carve out these blocks of high-value, highly productive time is central to your ability to make a significant contribution to your work and to your life. Successful salespeople set aside a specific time each day to phone prospects. Rather than procrastinating or delaying on a task that they don't particularly like, they resolve that they will phone for one solid hour between 10 and 11 a.m. They then discipline themselves to follow through on their resolutions. Many business executives set aside a specific time each day to call customers directly to get feedback, or to return phone calls, or to answer correspondence. Some people allocate specific 30 to 60 minute time periods each day for exercise. Many people read in the great books 15 minutes each night before retiring. In this way, over time, they eventually read dozens of the best books ever written. The key to the success of this method of working in specific time segments is for you to plan your day in advance and specifically schedule a fixed time period for a particular activity or task. You make appointments with yourself and then discipline yourself to keep them. You set aside 30, 60, and 90-minute time segments that you use to work on and complete important tasks. Many highly productive people schedule specific activities in pre-planned time slots all day long. These people build their work lives around accomplishing key tasks one at a time. As a result, they become more and more productive and eventually produce 2 times, 3 times, and 5 times as much as the average person. A time planner, broken down by day, hour, and minute, organized in advance, can be one of the most powerful personal productivity tools of all. It enables you to see where you can consolidate and create blocks of time for concentrated work. During this working time, you turn off the telephone, eliminate all distractions, and work nonstop. One of the best work habits of all is for you to get up early and work at home in the morning for several hours. You can get 3 times as much work done at home without interruptions as you ever could in a busy office where you are surrounded by people and bombarded by phone calls. When you fly on business, you can create your office in the air by planning your work thoroughly before you depart. When the plane takes off, you can work nonstop for the entire flight. You will be amazed at how much work you can go through when you work steadily in an airplane without interruptions. One of the keys to high levels of performance and productivity is for you to make every minute count. Use travel and transition time, what is often called gifts of time, to complete small chunks of larger tasks. Remember, the pyramids were built one block at a time. A great life and a great career is built one task and often one part of a task at a time. Your job in time management is to deliberately and creatively organize the concentrated time periods you need to get your key jobs done well and on schedule. Now, here's two ideas for applying this concept. First, think continually of different ways that you can save, schedule, and consolidate large chunks of time. Use this time to work on important tasks with the most significant long-term consequences. Second, make every minute count. Work steadily and continuously without diversion or distraction by planning and preparing your work in advance. Most of all, keep focused on the most important results for which you are responsible. Chapter 20. Develop a sense of urgency. Napoleon Hill once wrote, "Do not wait. The time will never be just right. Start where you stand and work with whatever tools you may have at your command, and better tools will be found as you go along." Perhaps the most outwardly identifiable quality of a high-performing man or woman is action orientation. They are in a hurry to get their key tasks completed. Highly productive people take the time to think, plan, and set priorities. They then launch quickly and strongly toward their goals and objectives. They work steadily, smoothly, and continuously. As a result, they seem to power through enormous amounts of work in the same amount of time that the average person spends socializing, wasting time, and working on low-value activities. When you work on your most important tasks at a high and continuous level of activity, you can actually enter into an amazing mental state called flow. Almost everyone has experienced this state at some time. Really successful people are those who get themselves into this state far more often than the average. In the state of flow, which is the highest human state of performance and productivity, something almost miraculous happens to your mind and emotions. You feel elated and clear. Everything you do seems effortless and accurate. You feel happy and energized. You experience a tremendous sense of calm and increased personal effectiveness. In the state of flow, identified and talked about over the centuries, you actually function on a higher plane of clarity, creativity, and competence. You are more sensitive and aware. Your insight and intuition functions with incredible precision. You see the interconnectedness of people and circumstances around you. You often come up with brilliant ideas and insights that enable you to move ahead even more rapidly. One of the ways you can trigger this state of flow is by developing a sense of urgency. This is an inner drive and desire to get on with the job quickly and get it done fast. This inner drive is an impatience that motivates you to get going and to keep going. A sense of urgency feels very much like racing against yourself. With this ingrained sense of urgency, you develop a bias for action. You take action rather than talking continually about what you're going to do. You focus on specific steps you can take immediately. You concentrate on the things you can do right now to get the results you want and achieve the goals you desire. Fast tempo seems to go hand in hand with all great success. Developing this tempo requires that you start moving and keep moving at a steady rate. The faster you move, the more impelled you feel to do even more, even faster. You enter the zone. When you regularly take continuous action toward your most important goals, you activate the momentum principle of success. This principle says that although it may take tremendous amounts of energy to overcome inertia and get started initially, it then takes far less energy to keep going. The good news is that the faster you move, the more energy you have. The faster you move, the more you get done and the more effective you feel. The faster you move, the more experience you get and the more you learn. The faster you move, the more competent and capable you become at your work. A sense of urgency shifts you automatically onto the fast track in your career. The faster you work and the more you get done, the higher will be your levels of self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. You begin to feel in complete control of your life and your work. One of the simplest and yet most powerful ways to get yourself started is to repeat the words, "Do it now, do it now, do it now," over and over to yourself. If you feel yourself slowing down or becoming distracted by conversations or low-value activities, repeat to yourself the words, "Back to work, back to work, back to work," over and over. In the final analysis, nothing will help you more in your career than for you to get the reputation for being the kind of person who gets important work done quickly and well. This reputation will make you one of the most valuable and respected people in your field. Now, here's two ways to put these ideas into action. First, resolve today to develop a sense of urgency in everything you do. Select one area where you have a tendency to procrastinate and make a decision to develop the habit of fast action in that area. Second, when you see an opportunity or a problem, take action on it immediately. When you are given a task or responsibility, do it quickly and report back fast. Move rapidly in every important area of your life. You will be amazed at how much better you feel and how much more you get done. Chapter 21, Single Handle Every Task. James Allen once wrote, "And herein lies the secret of true power. Learn, by constant practice, how to husband your resources and concentrate them at any given moment upon a given point." Eat that frog. Every bit of planning, prioritizing, and organizing comes down to this simple concept. Your ability to select your most important task, to begin it, and then to concentrate on it single-mindedly until it is complete, is the key to high levels of performance and personal productivity. Every great achievement of mankind has been preceded by a long period of hard, concentrated work until the job was done. Single-handling requires that once you begin, you keep working at the task without diversion or distraction until the job is 100% complete. You keep urging yourself onward by repeating the words, "back to work," over and over whenever you're tempted to stop or do something else. By concentrating single-mindedly on your most important task, you can reduce the time required to complete it by 50% or more. It's been estimated that the tendency to start and stop a task, to pick it up, put it down, and come back to it, can increase the time necessary to complete the task by as much as 500%. Each time you return to the task, you have to familiarize yourself with where you were when you stopped and what you still have to do. You have to overcome inertia and get yourself going again. You have to develop momentum and get into a productive work rhythm. But when you prepare thoroughly and then begin, refusing to stop or turn aside until the job is done, you develop energy, enthusiasm, and motivation. You get better and better and more productive. You work faster and more effectively. The truth is that once you've decided on your number one task, anything else that you do other than that is a relative waste of time. Any other activity is just not as valuable or as important as this job, based on your own priorities. The more you discipline yourself to working nonstop on a single task, the more you move down the efficiency curve. You get more and more high-quality work done in less and less time. Each time you stop working, however, you break this cycle and move back up the curve to where every part of the task is more difficult and time-consuming. Albert Hubbard once defined self-discipline as the ability to make yourself do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. In the final analysis, success in any area requires tons of discipline. Self-discipline, self-mastery, and self-control are the basic building blocks of character and high performance. Starting a high-priority task and persisting with that task until it's 100% complete is the true test of your character, your willpower, and your resolve. Persistence is actually self-discipline in action. The good news is that the more you discipline yourself to persist on a major task, the more you like and respect yourself, and the higher is your self-esteem. And the more you like and respect yourself, the easier it is for you to discipline yourself to persist even more. By focusing clearly on your most valuable task and concentrating single-mindedly until it's 100% complete, you actually shape and mold your own character. You become a superior person. You feel stronger, more competent, confident, happier. You feel more powerful and productive. You eventually feel capable of setting and achieving any goal. You become the master of your own destiny. You place yourself on an ascending spiral of personal effectiveness on which your future is absolutely guaranteed. And the key to all of this is for you to determine the most valuable and important thing you could possibly do at every single moment, and then eat that frog. So here are two ways to put these ideas into action. Number one, take action. Resolve today to select the most important task or project that you could complete and then launch into it immediately. And number two, once you start your most important task, discipline yourself to persevere without diversion or distraction until it's 100% complete. See it as a test to determine whether you are the kind of person who can make a decision to complete something and then carry it out. Once you begin, refuse to stop until the job is finished. Now, we've covered a lot of material in these 21 chapters, so let's put it all together in a summary. The key to happiness, satisfaction, great success, and a wonderful feeling of personal power and effectiveness is for you to develop the habit of eating your frog first thing every day when you start work. Fortunately, this is a learnable skill that you can acquire through repetition. And when you develop the habit of starting on your most important task before anything else, your success is assured. Here's a summary of the 21 great ways to stop procrastinating and get more things done faster. Review these rules and principles regularly until they become firmly ingrained in your thinking and actions, and your future will be guaranteed. Number one, set the table. Decide exactly what you want. Clarity is essential. Write out your goals and objectives before you begin. Number two, plan every day in advance. Think on paper. Every minute you spend in planning can save you 5 or 10 minutes in execution. Number three, apply the 80-20 rule to everything. Remember, 20% of your activities will account for 80% of your results. Always concentrate your efforts on that top 20%. Number four, consider the consequences. Your most important tasks and priorities are those that can have the most serious consequences, positive or negative, on your life or work. Focus on these above all. Number five, practice the ABCDE method continually. Before you begin work on a list of tasks, take a few moments to organize them by value and priority so that you can be sure of working on your most important activities. Six, focus on key result areas. Identify and determine those results that you absolutely positively have to get to do your job well and work on them all day long. Seven, practice the law of forced efficiency, which says there's never enough time to do everything, but there's always enough time to do the most important things. What are they? Number eight, prepare thoroughly before you begin. Remember, proper prior preparation prevents poor performance. Number nine, upgrade your skills. The more knowledgeable and skilled you become at your key tasks, the faster you start them and the sooner you get them done. Number 10, leverage your special talents. Determine exactly what it is that you are very good at doing or could be good at, and throw your whole heart into doing those specific things very well. Number 11, identify your key constraints. Determine the bottlenecks or choke points, internally or externally, that set the speed at which you achieve your most important goals, and focus on alleviating them. Number 12, take it one oil barrel at a time. You can accomplish the biggest and most complicated job if you just complete it one step at a time. Number 13, Put the pressure on yourself. Imagine that you have to leave town for a month and work as if you had to get all your major tasks completed before you left. Number 14, maximize your personal powers. Identify your periods of highest mental and physical energy each day and structure your most important and demanding tasks around these times. Get lots of rest so that you can perform at your best. Number 15, motivate yourself into action. Be your own cheerleader. Look for the good in every situation. Focus on the solution rather than the problem. Always be optimistic and constructive. Number 16, practice creative procrastination. Since you can't do everything, you must learn to deliberately put off those tasks that are of low value so that you have enough time to do the few tasks that really count. Number 17, do the most difficult task first. Begin each day with your most difficult task, the one task that can make the greatest contribution to yourself and your work, and resolve to stay at it until it's complete. Number 18, slice and dice the task. Break large, complex tasks down into bite-sized pieces, and then do just one small part of the task to get started. Number 19, create large chunks of time. Organize your days around large blocks of time where you can concentrate for extended periods on your most important tasks. Number 20, develop a sense of urgency. Make a habit of moving fast on your key tasks. Become known as a person who does things quickly and well. And number 21, single-handle every task. Set clear priorities. Start immediately on your most important task and then work without stopping until the job is 100% complete. This is the real key to high performance and maximum personal productivity. Make a decision to practice these principles every day until they become second nature to you. With these habits of personal management as a permanent part of your personality, your future success will be unlimited. Just do it. Eat that frog.
Production copyright 2006 by the Audio Partners Publishing Corporation. All rights reserved. The Audio Partners Publishing Corporation is also pleased to be the publisher of Brian Tracy's Goals, How to Get Everything You Want Faster Than You Ever Thought Possible. For a free audio editions catalog offering thousands of audio books on cassette and compact disc from all major publishers, call toll-free 1-800-231-4261. Visit our website at www.audioeditions.com.